Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Good morning, my friend. In our program last week, we listened to the first part of a message by Pastor Goin that reminded us that Emmanuel, that name that means God is with us, did just that when he humbled himself and was born in Bethlehem. You see, in the first century Roman and Greek world, the concept of the incarnation, that a deity would willingly step into human suffering and live among people, was a radical idea. In both Greek and Roman mythology, gods were typically portrayed as powerful, but emotionally detached from human affairs. They lived in the heavens or Mount Olympus, ruling from afar. When they occasionally intervened in human lives, it was too often for selfish reasons, seeking glory, punishment, or just personal amusement. The idea that a god would humble himself, take on human frailty, and suffer alongside humanity was unimaginable. You see, everyone in that day was vying to be deified, to be the object of worship. Even Caesar Augustus has declared himself the son of the divine and associated his reign with divine favor. You see, Roman culture celebrated power, conquest, dominion as marks of greatness. Things like humility and vulnerability were viewed as weakness. The message of Jesus, that God became man and lived among his creation, was utterly unique and scandalous in that day. It shattered the cultural expectations of both gods and kings. But my friend, Jesus did come to this earth as a baby. He made himself to be vulnerable and weak because of his great love and compassion for us. That is a God who is truly for us. And today I hope you'll enjoy the second part of Pastor Goin's message on Christmas prepositions.
And so in the Old Testament, God had a tabernacle for his people, but in the New Testament, God has a people for his tabernacle. And after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended in power and glory on the believers gathered there, it wasn't just God with us. It was God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, tabernacling among us and within us. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us that each of us are a building block. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and as building blocks, we make up the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ, builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. You, my friend, this morning, whoever you are, all of us were created for a high and holy purpose. You were designed to have God living inside of you. You were meant to be a house where God's Holy Spirit dwells. The church is to be a place where God's Holy Spirit dwells. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God with us wants to be God in us. And if you're a Christian this morning, God lives inside of you, and you are set apart by God, and you're called to be holy as He is holy. This holy God wants to live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He wants to enable you to be holy as He is holy. Now, I don't know why an unholy God, pardon me, why a holy God wanted to come into an unholy world and make unholy people holy and live inside of them. I can't explain why. That's the mystery of the ages. I'll never be able to fully explain it, but I believe it's true. God Himself wants to live inside of you. He wants to indwell you. And not only does He want to indwell you, but He wants to take full control, and He wants to infill you. And He wants to impart His holy nature to you and to me. He wants to take people who are polluted and scarred by sin and transform you into a trophy of His divine grace. He wants to clean up your behavior. But far more than that, He wants to impart His holy character to His people so that we're like Him and so that we enjoy fellowship with Him forever. We understand it's only through the love of God the Father in sending Jesus into the world. It's only through the power of the indwelling and filling Holy Spirit that unholy people could be made holy. That was God's plan from eternity past. Not only God with you, but God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul wrote to the Colossians. And so Isaiah said, they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus told the disciples the Holy Spirit would be in us. But there's a third Christmas preposition I want to give you this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul asked this question. He said, what shall we then say to these things? Here's the third preposition. If God be for us, who can be against us? Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. But isn't it good to know this morning that God is for us? So many have this mixed up idea of God. And in their mind, forever, God is this being who is against them. He's opposed to them. A God who is more of an enemy than a friend. But folks, I want you to know this morning that a God who would lay aside the splendors of heaven and come down to the misery of this world because He wanted to be with us, and a God who created us especially so that He could live within us, surely this God is for us. This God is on your side. If you need proof this morning that God isn't against you but for you, walk with me up Calvary's Hill and stand at the foot of three rough wooden crosses and look in the eyes of the man on the middle cross and see the nails that pierce his hands and feet and see the rough crown of thorns pressed down over his brow and piercing the skin of his forehead. Look at the bleeding, shredded flesh on his back and the bruises on his legs, and listen as His weary but determined voice reveals the compassion of His heart, and He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Tune your ears as He cries with a broken heart, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Listen as He gasps His last, it is finished. Feel the earth as it shakes beneath you as He breathes His last. Shudder in the dark shadows of that dark, desperate, dramatic moment. No man who takes in that scene with an honest, open heart could dare deny that the God who came to be with us, the God who wants to dwell in us, is a God who without a doubt is very much for us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Calvary's sacrifice is all the proof we need to know that God is for us. And He'll give us everything He knows we need in His time and His way. God is for you. Did you know that? God is on your side. He's for you. He's for you. Psalm 56, David said this. He said, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." One of the reasons I like that verse in the Psalms is because it acknowledges that even though God is for us, at times there are some tears. David spoke of these times that he cries to the Lord. In fact, in this same psalm, David asked God to put his tears in a bottle and to write his tears in a book. And I don't know how that strikes you, but it touches me, it encourages me to think that my God, every time he sees me cry, every tear that you shed, he knows. Every pain and disappointment that you experience, he knows. Whether it's private, whether it's something that everybody else knows about, he knows every pain. And the fact that he saves our tears and records them, that tells us he cares deeply about the pains and the hurts of life. A couple of years after Jennifer and I were married, we were at my parents' house, and my mom pulled out my baby book. And over the first few years of my life, she had recorded all of those details that are important to mothers. Now, the word is out on whether she had one from my other siblings. I'm the oldest, and sometimes, you know, that peters off from one child to the next. I don't know if they have one or not, but she gave me mine, and I looked through that book, and if it wasn't my mother, I would have thought it was a little creepy. There was a lock of baby hair in there. And then she gave me another box with all of these art projects and certificates and awards and papers and accomplishments from all these different stages of life, from birth up to about high school graduation. I don't think Jennifer's saving a box of all my accomplishments now. But my mother had recorded those things, and she saved all these mementos. You know why my parents did that? Because I was important to them. And what happened to me mattered deeply to them because they were interested in my success. They were for me. And I think that there's some sense, some picture there of how the heart of God is towards us. Towards us. For he is our God, the psalmist said. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. How beautiful. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, people belonging to him. God with us is surely God for us, because he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you've ever been poor, if you've ever been brokenhearted, if you've ever been bound to the chains of sin or blinded to the truth, if you've ever been hurt or wounded, God is for you. He's seen the tears of regret and shame and sorrow that you've shed for sins committed, for years you lost not serving him, and he came to set you free. He's seen the tears that you've cried because of the trials of life. And because what hurts you hurts him, he has a record of your sorrow, which means he cares. Now, we understand that doesn't mean there won't be tough times. But just because there are tough times doesn't mean that God isn't for us. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Adam Clark, in commenting on that very verse, he said, "He who is infinitely wise has undertaken to direct us. He who is infinitely powerful has undertaken to protect us. He who is infinitely good has undertaken to save us. What evil can prevail against his wisdom, power, and goodness? None. Therefore, we who love God are safe, and even the trials we face work together for our good and for God's glory. What a wonderful, mighty God we serve. Matthew Henry said, while God is for us and we keep in his love, we may with a holy boldness defy all the powers of darkness. Let Satan do his worst. He's chained. Let the world do its worst. It's conquered. Principalities and powers are spoiled and disarmed and triumphed over in the cross of Christ. Who then dares fight against us while God himself is fighting for us? Folks, we're on the winning side. Did you hear me? We're on the winning side. God is on our side. He's for us. This God who is with us, this God who is in us, is for us. I don't know a more beautiful name for God than Emmanuel. God with us. Since God came down, wherever we go, there's God. Hallelujah. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God is everywhere. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the world. It's appointed unto man once to die. And one day when you reach the end of the line and your time on this earth comes to an end and you cross the chilly waters of Jordan and face the uncertainty of death, even in that moment, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's no need to fear evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A promise of God's abiding presence in life, a promise of God's abiding presence in death, and a promise of God's abiding presence for all eternity. You know, the wonderful thing is, it's God with us here, and it's us with God in heaven. Emmanuel is an eternal promise. God with us is an eternal promise, because John heard a voice out of heaven speaking of a day when the people of God would be with him in heaven. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah for these Christmas prepositions. I'm glad that God came down. Thank God one time in my life he came in. And as a result, one day I'm going up and will be with him for all eternity. The story is told of a little girl who lived with her grandfather. She was a good girl, but her grandfather was sort of a crotchety old man, easily riled, very annoyed with his granddaughter that she believed in God, that she liked to go to church. He was an atheist. And so one day, in an attempt to sort of discourage his young granddaughter's religious interest, he made a little wooden plaque. He liked to work with wood, and so he made a plaque and hung it up in the living room. The plaque simply said, God is nowhere. He was determined. He was going to change his granddaughter's young mind about what she believed about God. And so she came home from school, and he took her to the living room and pointed up to the wall where he'd hung this little plaque and said, I want you to read these words. Read it out loud. And so this little girl, so small, just learning to read, really, could only read one syllable at a time. And she easily sounded out, God is, but nowhere is such a long word that she split it up into two words. And to that grandfather's chagrin, and later to his personal conviction, the little girl looked at that plaque that was supposed to say God is nowhere, and she said, God is now here. Folks, that's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Emmanuel. God is with us. God is now here. And that changes everything. It changes the future. It changes the present. It gives us blessed hope. God is with us. And if you'll open your heart, He can be in you and know that God is for you. And that's good news on the first Sunday of this Christmas season in 2024. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Our Father, we're so thankful that you've not left us alone in this world. You've not left us to somehow muddle through the darkness and difficulties and misery of a sin-cursed world, but you came to redeem what had been damaged by the curse of sin. You sent your Son, Jesus. You sent your Son to redeem the world. And then, Father, once redemption's plan had been accomplished, you sent your Holy Spirit to infill and to enable us to be what you'd have us to be. And Father, you're on our side. You're with us. You're for us. And today I pray, Father, that you would encourage our hearts with the reality that we're not alone, that you are here with us. May we be encouraged by the reality that you're on our side. And Father, if there are those who have not yet invited you to live inside them, if they've not yet invited you to forgive them of their sins, if they've not yet invited you to take complete control and haven't made a full surrender of their hearts, Lord, I pray that before it's everlastingly too late, you would help those who have not been born again to put their faith and their trust in you. We're so thankful for the message of redemption. Lord, I pray you'd bring it alive in our hearts again. We know the story of Christmas. We're so familiar with it. And yet, Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to lose the wonder of it, the wonder that Jesus came, the wonder of redemption's plan. Go with us, I pray. Apply this message in our hearts and lives as you see fit. Dismiss us from this service, but not from your presence. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Earth and sky.
You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast or any others, please call us at 717-273-3690. That's 717-273-3690. Or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. Our schedule today at God's Missionary Church is slightly different from usual, as this morning our morning worship service is scheduled to begin at 9:30 for this special Christmas Sunday. Then this evening, we plan to have a special evening of Christmas candlelight music at our normal time of 6 o'clock p.m. This week, we will not have our normal midweek service. Now, we hope to see you in person this morning, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us and follow us on social media as well. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing and a very Merry Christmas.